Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and we're here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm a 20-plus year health, food, and environmental journalist. Helped break the story on fracking on the Huffington Post back in 2008. Cover a range of issues in these spaces, writing for Huffington Post, Alternet, EcoWatch, and the new millennial site, iFlip4, which is an activism site for millennials. Every week here on Connect the Dots, and we're going on to 4 years on this show, I bring in different experts, advocates, doctors, scientists, thought leaders, talking about all of the ways that what goes on in our society, our neighborhoods, our food, water, air, and earth, our greater global environment, all of that, how it affects us, our health, and how we can be healthy and strive to protect health on multiple levels, the individual, the community, the society, and the earth itself. And that's what we talk about every week and have been talking about on this program ever since early 2010. I'm very honored to be on the Progressive Radio Network, where there are so many terrific programs. And, you know, from the beginning, we cover quite a range here on Connect the Dots. One of our more recent shows really went into the kind of mindset and the sources historically for the mindsets that are creating so much greed, you know, and confusion in our society and in our world. Today we return to our theme, which we've covered, probably more than any other radio program, about the many and manifold effects of natural gas development here in the U.S. as well as globally. On today's show, we're going to be honing in, as we've done in the past in other regions, but on this show, we're going to be honing in one region in New York State and its efforts up in the Finger Lakes community, a beautiful natural destination area, to keep dangerous liquefied natural gas and propane and butane out of Seneca Lake, a beautiful natural lake in the Finger Lakes region. It seems kind of counterintuitive that anyone would want to put poisonous substances that contribute to climate change deep in a beautiful natural lake. But that, in fact, has been going on, and the community up there in and around Seneca, New York, has been rising to the occasion for 3+ years. Today on the show, I'm so happy to have with me one founder of the local advocacy organization, which is called Gas Free Seneca. His name is Dr. Joseph Campbell, and there's a lot to discuss because, you know, one of the things we tend to think is, oh, the gas is just happening, you know, where the drilling is occurring, and that's not in my neighborhood. But in fact, this is an object lesson in how it can and does go everywhere, but it's also a very uplifting story of the community response. So welcome to Connect the Dots, Joseph Campbell.
Thank you for having me on, Allison.
Yeah, it's great to have you here today. So Gas Free Seneca, you're one of the two co-founders. That was founded back in January of 2011. Can you just kind of give a snapshot of your community as it is, as you wish to protect it, and then, you know, the looming threat and efforts to change all of that through gas industrial hub development?
Well, I live on the shores of Seneca Lake, actually, almost directly across from the salt caverns where they want to store this stuff. And what people need to realize is that the Finger Lakes region has been developing as a world-class tourist destination for decades. And we have we live in one of the most beautiful spots on Earth, these fjord-like lakes, these deep, clean, pristine, beautiful lakes are not only attractive to tourists, but they create a microclimate for agriculture. Grapes especially seem to grow well on the banks of the Finger Lakes. And so, and as a result of that, we've developed over 100 wineries right here in the Finger Lakes. More are being opened. It's incredible. When I drive up my side of the lake, the east side of Seneca Lake, from Watkins Glen north, and it seems like almost every month there's another winery, brewery, distillery opening up. We have a plethora of bed and breakfasts, hotels, restaurants. Some of the restaurants, many of the restaurants are devoted to the locavore dining, you know, with the produce and the different products that they put on their menu are produced right here. On the west side, across the lake, in Yates County, which borders the lake, quite a long part of the shoreline of the west side of Seneca Lake, is the largest agricultural producing county in New York State. It's the breadbasket of the state. And we have Seneca Lake in particular is the epicenter of all of that. We have a 4.2 trillion gallon freshwater resource for over 100,000 people. If you look at all of the Finger Lakes, and I can't remember exactly how many, but there's 9 or 10 or maybe more Finger Lakes. Seneca Lake actually holds 50% of all of the water in all of the Finger Lakes put together. So if something happens to this lake, if this lake gets contaminated, you're contaminating half of the water in the Finger Lakes. It's a huge freshwater resource. The largest body of water that's wholly within New York State's borders.
Hmm.
So that's what we're trying to protect.
Oh, wow. You know, it also occurs to me as you're speaking, this is not some kind of, arid back area where nothing's going on and, oh, my gosh, it's so great we're bringing in an industry. This is a place that is both an absolutely pristine natural setting. It's a tourist destination. It's a source of the local food, the local food for all of New York State, and that includes New York City, where I reside. So this is not just happening off in some bad corner somewhere. This has repercussive effects, with this development occurring, and it's not occurring in a vacuum. It's occurring in a place where it's actually displacing both nature and the source of a whole lot of business and activity that's both foundational to health through food and water, but that's also very sustaining for the entire region and the entire state. I personally happen to belong to the Park Slope Food Co-op, and I know that we get a lot of our food, from that very region. So this is not a small thing. Let our listeners know a little bit, and fill me in as well, please, about what it is that the gas industry is, attempting to do with the lake, specifically and in that region.
Yeah, right. It's less than 3 miles north of Watkins Glen, New York. Watkins Glen is really the historic home of road racing in the United States. The Grand Prix was running back there on the roads back in the 30s and 40s, and now they've got the big track up on the hill that now is home to a NASCAR race. We have Watkins Glen State Park, this beautiful, beautiful gorge that over 620,000 people visited last year alone, making it the second most visited state park in New York State. There's another side of the area, and that's salt manufacturing. And they've been manufacturing salt on the southern shore of Seneca Lake for over 100 years. So back in 2008, this company, Energy LP of Kansas City, Missouri, was able to purchase the U.S. salt plant on the west side of Seneca Lake, just about 3 miles north of Watkins Glen, New York. And they didn't purchase it because they were interested in manufacturing salt. They purchased it because over there in that hillside, over 100 and some odd years of salt mining, there are over 60 abandoned salt caverns, okay? These are basically just holes in the salt layer, about 2,000 feet down. And they decided that this was a perfect place to store liquefied propane, liquefied butane, and it's not liquid natural gas, it's compressed natural gas. And so they've been busily, they tried to sneak it under the radar. They filed their first permit application in 2009. We didn't hear about it until late 2010. So they tried to sneak it in under the radar, as these companies do. You know, they come into a, and the town of Reading, where the project's located, is relatively poor, you know, sparsely populated. However, this particular project is right on the shore of Seneca Lake. And it's going to consist of initially 2.1 million barrels or 88 million gallons of liquefied propane and butane. They just filed a little over a year and a half ago to expand a small natural gas storage facility that they bought from NYSEG. FERC has given initial approval for that. You know, and when you said that, you know, who could even dream that this would be a place where they would choose to put something like this? Well, Energy was absorbed by a company called Crestwood Midstream out of Houston, Texas. If you've ever been to Houston, Texas, you know what their mindset is. You know, they really don't care about the Finger Lakes. All they care about is making a buck. And the community, you brought it up, the community is up in arms about this. We have currently 12 municipalities surrounding the lake that have passed very strongly worded resolutions opposed to this gas storage project. That includes three of the four counties that surround the lake. The village of Watkins Glen just passed a resolution a couple of weeks ago. The city of Geneva at the north end of the lake is the largest municipality on the lake, passed a strongly worded resolution. Numerous towns and thousands and thousands of people have voiced their concern in the form of letters to Governor Cuomo and petition signatures, and there have even been arrests. We've had some people go up there and commit nonviolent acts of civil disobedience. To date, one gentleman has been arrested twice. He just got out of jail, Jeremy Alderson. And 14 others have been arrested.
Sandra Steingraber as well participate in one of these actions?
Yes, Dr. Steingraber was one of the Seneca 12, Seneca Lake 12. They were claimed the Seneca Lake 12. And three of those 12 arrestees chose jail, overpaying what really amounted to a trespassing charge, as a violation, and it's a minimum fine. But they chose to go to jail rather than pay that fine to make a statement. And Dr. Steingraber spent 9 days in the Chemung County Jail because our county doesn't have the capability of housing female inmates, apparently. And she wrote some pretty powerful letters from jail. I think her Earth Day message was from the Chemung County Jail. Would have been a year ago last Earth Day. So, yeah, you know, and I know that there are people that are you know, a lot of people are still willing to go up there and block the gate and stop construction of this project, you know, putting their bodies on the line. And, you know, that's a level of commitment that, you know, when something like this threatens your home, and this is our home, you know, this is not, Dr. Steingraber coined the phrase, this is not the Houston shipping channel. This is a drinking water resource for 100,000 people. My water that comes out of my tap comes out of Seneca Lake. And, you know, we're not willing to let this company come in here and destroy what we've, you know, basically invested our lives in, so that they can take, you know, their profits back to Houston, Texas. it's not even like there's going to be a huge upside for anybody. They're promising 8 to 10 gas industry jobs, which is
eight to ten. Eight to ten. Am I hearing you correctly?
8 to 10 gas industry jobs. You know, where the local sustainable and vibrant and growing economy that we have here, that, by the way, wasn't affected by the recession like the rest of the world was, you know, starting in 2008, where our economy actually grew during that 4-year downturn. And the tax revenue to the county and the town is going to be minuscule, a couple of $100,000 maybe. And the profits are going to go back to Houston, Texas, you know. So it's just a bad deal. It's a bad deal. This is not the right place for this. And we just wish they'd pack up and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make sure they do.
You know, your community seems quite mobilized and active. That's obviously due to the terrific efforts of Gas Free Seneca. Can you talk a little bit, since this is an election year and we have a primary coming up for the nomination of the incumbent governor, Andrew Cuomo, can mm-hmm. you comment a little bit about the role of state government you know, in all of this? Have you called upon them? Have they been helpful? What has that experience been like?
Yeah, we have. We know that we're on the governor's radar. We know that he loves the Finger Lakes. He's been here. He was here twice last summer. In the space of about 2 weeks, the Governor's Cup is the most prestigious award given to wineries, New York State wineries, and it's held at the Harbor Hotel right down in Watkins Glen. It was presented there last year. It was presented there again this year, although Governor Cuomo was in Israel, I believe, at the time. But he did come down and visit again this summer. He knows what we have here. He knows that, you know, this is a fragile, even though it's a robust economy that we have here, it's fragile. You know, there's a tipping point where heavy industry does not coexist with the kind of economy we have here. Mm-hmm. And this is heavy industry, make no mistake. This is Houston, Texas style, you know, gas storage and transport. With a 6-track rail siding, industrial rail siding, these giant open air brine ponds right on the, you know, the banks of Seneca Lake, 60-foot active burning flare stack, truck loading and unloading depot. It's going to increase the number of propane tanker trucks running our roads, steep, hilly, narrow 2-lane roads that, you know, they say, okay, well, you know, the trucks aren't going to interfere with tourism because they're going to be running in the wintertime. Well, in the wintertime around here, we have, you know, snow and we have ice and sleet and things like that. You know, so now we're talking about increasing the likelihood of something catastrophic happening. And one accident, one tanker truck blows up somewhere and you Google the Finger Lakes and that's the first story that's going to pop up, you know. So we're not willing to take that risk.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested to know a little bit more how you you yourself got involved, because, I mean, you're not an activist by profession or anything of the type. I mean, you're actually a healthcare practitioner. You're a chiropractor.
Right.
So, you know, you obviously were not planning on this. You know, how did you, I'm really interested in how people do or don't step up, because we all could be, you know, really stepping up to take action on something every single day. Today I was friended by somebody on Facebook, new person that was unknown to me, He's an environmental activist and a musician. Is doing a concert to stop the tar sands, and you know, recruited Willie Nelson and a whole bunch of other famous people to volunteer their time and do this. And I find that, you know, very inspiring as it is when non-celebrity people get involved and just keep doing, you know, the everyday work that kind of has to get done to let others know and to organize around some of these things. So, you know, I'd love to know, you know, and yet many people don't do anything because, you know, it's not in their backyard or they don't see how it ever could be. Of course, it could be in everybody's backyard, ultimately. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about, you know, how you became involved and, you know, whether that was kind of almost a surprise to you yourself that you were doing this or whether it kind of came naturally when all of these various things fell into place that were occurring in your community?
Yeah, my partner Yvonne Taylor is also one of the co-founders of Gatsby Seneca, and we were kind of just going merrily along with our lives, and I was somewhat involved in Pulteney, New York, where I have a home, when Chesapeake Energy filed a permit with the DEC to take an old abandoned gas well about a half a mile from the shore of Cuca Lake, and they wanted to develop an injection well, deep injection disposal well for frack waste from Pennsylvania. And people got up in arms. I was up in arms because it was right up the road from my house. You know, this was just inconceivable to me that they would even think about doing that. And there was such a public uproar that we forced Chesapeake to withdraw their application. That was my first real involvement with anything like that. And I didn't really even know that much about fracking at the time. So we're going back to, it was Super Bowl Sunday that we had a huge public meeting in 2010. I started researching more about fracking, learning more about fracking, and then we were making plans to take some property that's been in Yvonne's family, passed down through generations on Seneca Lake, and build a permanent home. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she already owned the land. We had contracted with an architect, started looking into, you know, the thing is the permitting process for putting a septic system on the shores of one of the Finger Lakes is probably almost as involved as turning salt caverns into storage for propane. You know, it's quite a deal. But we were planning to build our home, and that's when we learned about this project. And we looked at each other and we thought, okay, it's right across the lake from where we want to build. You know, do we put our plans on hold? Or do we try to fight this thing? And you're right. I'm not an activist. I've never done anything like this before. Together with another fella, he's got property across the lake in the town of Reading, not too far from where this project is located. We formed Gatsby Seneca and just started, you know, getting the word out. You know, people didn't know, and you can still walk down the street or go door to door in Reading, and people don't know. You know, mm-hmm. what's planned over there. It's incredible that, you know, after 3.5 years of standing on the roof, you know, shouting our lungs out, that people don't know what's going on over there. But, yeah, we started this sort of a grassroots organization. Early on, I knew that a ragtag bunch of just regular folks like me weren't going to stop this project. We had a couple of business owners, wineries, and things like that, that were just as concerned as we were. And we decided that we needed to get the business community behind us. And to date, you can go to our website, www.gatsbyseneca.com, and click on a link to the Business Coalition, and you'll see over 230 local businesses on that list, all opposed to this project. So we've got enormous opposition. You know, I mentioned the 12 municipalities, more coming on board every month. you know, 230 plus businesses. We could probably double that if we had time to pick up the phone and call these folks. Mm-hmm. Thousands of local residents and visitors to the Finger Lakes that are just appalled that, you know, that this is even being proposed. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I don't think a day goes by that we don't do something related to stopping this project. Mm-hmm. I do want to go back to your earlier question about the New York State. New York State DEC is completely in charge of the LPG portion of the project. Unfortunately, the natural gas storage expansion comes under the purview of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, and anybody that knows anything about FERC knows that they're kind of a rubber stamp for natural gas projects. So even though we raised a lot of objections about different things, particularly the unstable geology over there, FERC went ahead and, you know, rubber stamped it anyway. What gives us a little bit of hope as far as Governor Cuomo and the DEC is that they have not yet issued an underground storage permit for the natural gas storage expansion. And in addition to that, we received notification that the DEC is going to hold an issues conference sometime in the near future to determine whether there are significant issues with this project that could lead to a full judicial review. So it would go before an administrative law judge. We would be one of the things people don't realize is that in a project like this, the company writes the environmental impact statement. Now, the DEC can say, okay, go back and take a look at this or go back and take a look at that. But the DEC is not in the habit of, and then they're not in the business of turning down permits like this. Mm-hmm. Unless there are significant issues. So we'll have a chance to bring in our own experts. We have two PhD geologists who have written reports, and both of those reports were scathing rebukes of the company's reports, their tests. The geology over there is unstable. We had there's a major north-south trending strike slip fault that runs right through the area. About 10 miles north along that fault on the west side of Seneca Lake, almost a year ago, there was a magnitude 2.0 earthquake.
Oh, my.
You know, so, right. You know, so, I mean, there's no reason to take these unlined salt caverns that were created by solution mining for salt and expect them to be stable over, you know, decades to hold this highly flammable, potentially explosive stuff. And so we're hopeful that because of the issues conference announcement and the potential for adjudication, Governor Cuomo and the DEC are listening to us, you know, and now we're calling on our state senator or our U.S. senators, Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, to weigh in with FERC because they've been silent. You know, we've been trying to get them to take a look at this and take a stand. You know, they all talk about how they're promoting the wineries, promoting tourism, promoting agriculture. Okay, well, this is none of those, and they need to take. They need to step up to the plate, Senators Schumer and Gillibrand, and they need to make a statement. And they need to whisper in the ear of the Commissioner of FERC and say, you know, this is not a place for this. You know,
interject here for a moment because we're going to take our station identification break momentarily. But it's kind of a little bit shocking because, you know, there are all these people out there complaining, oh, you know, government, get out of my business, government, blah, 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 you know, don't do this and don't do that. And, you know, and here we have a situation where one would expect, you know, the government would be stepping in to protect the environment. It's called the Department of Environmental Conservation, to be stepping in to protect citizens. But instead, it's like government is standing back, because so many people have been complaining about government, and just kind of saying, okay, we're watching you two fight. It's really quite shocking. I have had Claire Donahue of St. Energy on the show multiple times. Mm-hmm. One of the things she told me was, you know, you can't believe until you get involved in one of these kinds of actions and all of that, how little government is there for the people nowadays. And, you know, this is happening in your home, in your community, and, you know, everyone assumes it won't come to theirs. But if it ever did, I think this is really a cautionary tale, because there's nothing in place to prevent it from happening almost anywhere. In any case, we are now going to take our station identification break here on Progressive Radio Network. We'll be right back afterwards, still talking with Joseph Campbell of Gas Free Seneca. Listeners, please stay with us. And the music should be coming up momentarily.
we're on mute, right?
What?
I said we're on mute.
No, we're not. We're waiting for the music to arise here. Hoping that the engineer isn't off having, you know, a second cup of coffee somewhere. But in any case, it sounds like maybe nobody's ready to do the break right now. So we'll keep pushing on here. But I have to say, as much as I have studied this, I mean, I think sometimes people have kind of gotten cynical and they go, oh, well, that's government. They weren't there for us. What do you expect? But, I mean, I am dating myself clearly, but, you know, I come from a time and a place where there would have been the expectation that government, you know, would be intervening on behalf of citizens. I mean, otherwise, what are they doing there, you know? Was that a kind of big shock to you initially? Are you kind of inured to it now? This is just kind of a bigger picture question of, you know, of what it's like when this kind of thing is going on, what it's like when it hits people and nobody's kind of home in government.
I think that what's really been a wake-up call for me is how much politics are involved in things like this. Mm-hmm. And the problem I see is that there is really no upside, and we say this over and over again, there's no upside for our community, for the Finger Lakes region. This is a regional issue. We've got wineries from, if you look at our business coalition, and there's a map on our website also that shows the opposition by municipality, and each of our businesses is a little yellow dot. You can see that they're spread all across the region, all the way from the furthest westernmost Finger Lake, Hemlock Lake, Rochester, Syracuse, Binghamton, Corning, Elmira. You know, the entire region is opposed to this project. And you can't get the ear of your elected representatives, especially on Well, we've been trying to get face-to-face time with Senator, or I'm sorry, Representative Tom Reed, our local representative.
Is he in Congress, or he's a state representative, or
no, U.S. Congress.
Okay.
And we can't get a meeting with the guy. Mm-hmm. We can't get a meeting with him. You know, we've been able to sit down with his opposition. Speaking of, Governor Cuomo and the upcoming primary, his challengers have spoken out strongly against fracking, and specifically LPG storage here in the Finger Lakes. We would just be absolutely ecstatic if Governor Cuomo would make a public statement that he is against LPG storage in the Finger Lakes region. It's really been an eye-opener. Senators Schumer and Gillibrand, we've met numerous times with their staffers, and nothing happens. You know, they sit there and they listen and they shake their head and they say, oh, yeah, and, oh, they're all concerned about it. But then nothing happens. You know, and that's why I say, you know, if your listeners want to go to our website, and there's a letters, you can click on Letters to Cuomo, I think is the name of the link. But there's downloadable letters to Governor Cuomo. One of them's in Word format, so you can download it. You can change it. You know, you can address it to Senator Chuck Schumer, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and send those letters in. You know, they don't do any good sitting on your computer screen. Mm-hmm. And demand that they say something. Demand that they stick up, you know, stand up for their constituents, you know, and not allow this Houston, Texas-based gas and oil corporation into our region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I think also people do get deterred because they see the amount of work involved, and then you have these unresponsive public officials. However, you know, there is a way to respond. I'm not, you know, doing endorsements or anything like that on the show today, although I possibly could. But, you know, if anyone registered in the Democratic primary, you know, there are multiple people running for the nomination, you know, in the primary. Who should be, you know, who do we want to elect? Many people, you know, say, oh, they're all the same and don't participate. But, you know, we need more responsive people, and we need to be more responsive. So that can, you know, it may start there, but if we allow it to end there, then it really creates a big problem when these kinds of things happen, and they happen. Of course, this is one front. We cover multiple fronts. On this program, all across a whole range of issues, and it's great to get involved. So, but even if you don't want to press that button and write a letter, you can vote. you can register, you can vote in the primary, you can vote for challenger candidates, you know, if you don't like the sound of, you know, how the kind of job that people are doing here. To protect not just this region, but water and food supplies that, you know, affect, that travel everywhere throughout the state and reach all of us if we're into eating healthy food and, you know, and drinking healthy water. So let's take our station ID break now, just for a few minutes, and then we'll be back on Connect the Dots, talking with Joseph Campbell of Seneca, of Gas Free Seneca. Welcome back, listeners, to the second half of Connect the Dots. Again, this is Allison Rose Levy here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Today we're talking with co-founder of Gas Free Seneca, Joseph Campbell, and he is taking us on an extraordinary tour of the inspiring citizen action of an entire community, many of their businesses, in the beautiful, natural Finger Lakes region of New York State, in their wish to protect Seneca Lake from the perturbation of using underground salt caverns to store a whole host of liquefied, you know, propane and other heating products. Why do they have to store them there? Or underground at all? You know, are they explosive?
Well, they don't have to store them here. I guess.
But
the
why
thing
did
about
they pick that location? It just seems so strange, given the natural setting you've described.
Right. In April of 2011, we had been trying to work with the county government and the company to have an open forum, you know, sort of a, you know, question and answer type forum. And we weren't getting any response from either the county, Schuyler County Legislature, the Industrial Development Agency, and the company. And we decided that, okay, well, we'll go ahead and have a forum anyway. And we quickly lined up a slate of speakers and some real experts and put on this forum. Well, turns out Schuyler County and the Schuyler County Partnership for Economic Development and the county administrator and the company were kind of colluding to have an informational session of their own, and they decided to pick a different venue in town in Watkins Glen, but they held it the very night before our forum. And I don't think it was coincidence, Allison, knowing how this company works. I'm kind of disappointed in our county legislature being in collusion with them on that. But anyway, to make a long story short, the vice president of operations at the time for Innergy, Bill Moeller, was there. And I took it upon myself to go up to Mr. Moeller, and he apparently didn't know who I was. And I said, so why did you pick that location for this particular project? And he, in his best Kansas City, Missouri twang, said, well, we got all them holes over there. We might as well put something in them, you know. And that's their attitude. That's their attitude, really.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he said, well, this is a marriage made in heaven for us. You know, there's a rail line there. There's a pipeline there. There's all these, you know, 60-plus depleted salt caverns there. And that's the attitude, you know. But they could do this anywhere. There was, you know, one of the arguments we get is, oh, they've been storing gas there for years, which is not really true. There was a company called TEPCO who was storing about the same amount of propane these guys want to put in the ground in two salt caverns for a period of 20 years, from 1964 to 1984. Mm-hmm. And they abruptly moved their operation away from the lake, another half a mile or so, and they created shallow rock caverns, which they carefully lined, they carefully engineered, and they are storing some propane over there now, about 1.5 million barrels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the short answer is they could do this anywhere. They could do this anywhere. They could, you know, engineer, design, and create, you know, caverns, not necessarily the depleted salt caverns in this unstable layered geology.
Mm.
And they could do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take it somewhere else.
It's going to be, the problem with take it somewhere else, though, is it's not going to be great for whomever it's near. And that's the problem of all of this, is that, you know, we don't want it near the beautiful areas of land that we know. But that's like saying, you know, there's, and it's true that not every place on earth is as stunningly gorgeous as your region. But, you know, it's like, you know, then it becomes a battle for people to move it around, you know, put it here or put it there, rather than an opportunity for society and business to shift investments so that we're not creating products that increase climate change, and that we have to, like, destroy one community or other, you know, and have the communities duking it out among themselves, which one can resist it the most. You know, that's not really the best way to go about it, even if it is kind of what's sort of happening at this moment in time. You know, I just want to, as an aside, mention, because we're coming down to the last 15 minutes of the show here, that listeners, if you have enjoyed this program, I hope you will like us on iTunes and also pass the link to this show, which will be in the Connect the Dot archives this afternoon, along to others that you think would be interested or should know about this. And, you know, if you have just tuned in for the second half of the show and have missed the first half, you can also find that on the archives later today and from there going forward in order to, you know, get the full discussion here that we've been having. You know, what do you, how does Gas-Free Seneca kind of cooperate and, you know, fit in with other pipeline and pipeline hub regions and advocacy efforts in the rest of New York State?
Yeah, well, we're all in this together, Allison, and you're right. It's, you know, I was being flippant when I said take it, you know, somewhere else. But yeah, we've got, you know, places like Minisink, New York, where they're, you know, they're first shoving this compressor station down their throats, and we've got the Cove Point liquefied natural gas export facility that FERC's trying to foist on those people down on the Chesapeake Bay. You know, we're all in this together, you know, fracking, and this is fracking. Make no mistake, this is infrastructure designed to support the fracking industry. You know, so this company came in here bragging about, you know, being on top of the Marcellus Shale. They brag on their website about this 2.1 million barrel LPG storage facility as being the initial 2.1 million barrels, and they want to expand it to 5 million barrels. The natural gas storage expansion from 1.5 to 2 billion cubic feet. They stayed on their website. They want to expand to 10 billion cubic feet. And then they go on to say that the U.S. salt property has previously solution mined capacity for up to 40 million barrels, and they call it a potential energy storage. You know, energy, I guess, is the new buzzword for gas, you know, because gas is a pretty word. Gas is the four-letter word. But, yeah, we're all in this together. You know, and if they have the storage capacity here, you know, in anticipation of New York State opening up to fracking, they're perfectly positioned. You know, they're not going to go away without a fight. And I'm sorry, but you know that's what we're going to give them. We have legal representation by Earth Justice. You know, probably the preeminent environmental law firm in the country, if not in the world. And we're so thankful that we have Earth Justice on our side. You know, and we're gonna fight them every step of the way, no matter what, whether it's natural gas, whether it's propane and butane, and yeah, Buffalo, New York, I think is getting a new solar energy plant. You know, we could use that kind of industry here. You know, I would love to see, you know, a company move into Schuyler County was going to create some real jobs, you know, not 8 to 10 industrial jobs, real, you know, some real clean jobs, you know, some and produce some clean
jobs.
Energy. What's that?
Yeah, that's really incredible. 8 to 10 jobs. I mean, it sounds like a joke. And,
it
you know,
really
this is.
Is
the industry that, you know, oh, it's going to bring in so many jobs. It's going to solve our unemployment problem. 8 to 10 jobs. Amazing, really. Truly amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's the gas industry. It's capital intensive, but it doesn't really provide any long term real jobs, especially in the fracking industry. You know, most of the high paid jobs come in from Texas and Louisiana and places where they have the technology and the training, and they frack an area and then they move on, and they frack that area and they move on. You know, the boom and bust mentality, this project. If it gets approved, is such a short-sighted, you know, our vision, and we have companies like businesses like Hazlitt 1852 Vineyard. Well, the name is 1852 because that's when they started growing grapes, you know, and it's so what are they, 7, 8 generations now, right up the road in Hector, New York, on the east side of Seneca Lake. We have international investment coming to Seneca Lake in the form of the Steve Jobs of wine. I think it was Forbes magazine called this fellow Paul Hobbs is investing. He's going to invest, you know, I don't know, $1 million in developing. He believes that the climate and the soil and the conditions are suitable for growing world-class Riesling. And this guy's an internationally known figure. We already have Louis Barul from France producing wine under the label Forbes Cellars. Another, you know, I think his family goes back to the 14 or 1500s in France. And these guys are coming to Seneca Lake, and they're coming here for a reason. and they're going to draw investors with them. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to come here if they have to look across the lake. Paul Hobbs' vineyard that he's developing is almost directly across the lake from this gas storage facility, and he didn't even know about it when he bought the property. And he's his brother stated in public that they're shocked. They were shocked when they found out about this. So they're up in arms, you know?
Mm-hmm. And here's someone else who's up in arms. It's really interesting because we've been discussing throughout the show the bigger picture, which is, you know, the elected officials that either kind of get the problem and protect us and act accordingly, or who kind of, you know, hang back and wait and listen to industry and kind of twiddle their thumbs. Not talking about anyone specific there, unless you happen to know what's going on in New York State. You can make your own interpretation. And that's why people throughout New York State, anyone throughout New York State who cares about the food, the wine, the water, all that we've been talking about today in covering gas-free Seneca and the threat to the Finger Lakes region, you know, as we've been having this conversation, there's a breaking news story. Today, as this show ends, in just 8 minutes, in fact, Mark Ruffalo will be publicly endorsing the Democratic candidate for the nomination for the Democratic Party for governor of New York, along with her, person for, you know, kind of, I think he's running for lieutenant governor, Tim Wu. Sefer Tichon and Tim Wu will be endorsed in 8 minutes by Mark Ruffalo. They will be on the steps of the Tweet Courthouse that's in downtown New York City, near City Hall, the Chambers Street area. And they'll discuss the need to ban fracking, the chance for New York to be an international leader in renewable energy, and why Ruffalo is choosing Teach Out over Cuomo. They'll be there, all three of them, with representatives from the Sierra Club Atlantic chapter. If you're in the area, can get on the subway and go there, go make the announcement. It's at 52 Chambers Street, room 201. Mark Ruffalo endorsing Zephyr Teach Out, breaking news, very in keeping with all that we've been discussing on this program. The need to identify the politicians who stand with us rather than that, you know, we kind of appeal to and you can't get a meeting with, as you've been sadly describing, has occurred with a number of state officials, both elected and regulatory. So, you know, we have to get a better batch into office. Everybody can be involved. So, you know, in that way we don't have to have the thing of where should this stuff go? Does it have to ruin your community? Does it have to ruin my community? Does it have to affect all of our food and water? You know, no, there are other solutions. And I would say the solutions begin with communities like Seneca, with actions like yours, and you know, with activists like you and your partner Yvonne Taylor, who co-founded Gas-Free Seneca, as well as with Mark Ruffalo. But it extends to all of us, and we can all participate. So check that out, folks. Very exciting news.
And Allison, I have to make the disclaimer that we are a not-for-profit, and we don't endorse political mm-hmm. candidates. It jeopardizes our 501c3 mm-hmm. status. We did actually get a chance to sit down on the second floor with Deputy Secretary of the Environment, Basil Sagos, and a couple other folks in the mm-hmm. executive chamber. And I think that whoever wins the Democratic primary, whoever goes on to win the general election in November, needs to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, and make sure that communities like ours, all across the state, are protected from these predatory companies that just come in and seemingly do whatever they want over the objections of the people that live here, that live in the communities, that love where they live. You know, I was born and raised in the Finger Lakes. I have ancestors buried right up the road from me in a small family plot dating back to the 1830s. You know, I raised my family here. I have grandchildren that I'm trying to protect the Finger Lakes, Seneca Lake and the Finger Lakes for their, you know, for their grandchildren. What is the Haudenosaunee, Iroquois, you know, seventh generation, you know?
That's right, seventh generations. That's actually, I have a sculpture image of that for the Connect the Dots Facebook page. You know, thank you so much, Joseph Campbell of Gas Free Seneca. Listeners, please go and check out their website and learn more and get involved, write letters, vote, do whatever you can. Thank you so much, both for the incredible work you're doing and for being with us today. On Connect the Dots, Joseph Campbell. So grateful for all you do.
Yes, thank you so much for having us on. And one last thought.
We're actually having to wind down right now, Joseph, so I can't take that last thought, but we'll have to have you on again.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I also want to thank you listeners for being with us. And, you know, let this inspire you to do something today. To protect our breadbasket region. And thank you for being with us this week and every week on Connect the Dots. We'll be back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm Allison Rose Levy. Have a great week.